All right, we're going to start a little mini-series tonight through this month, anyway, at least. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, and we're going to begin tonight what I call Abraham's crises, plural, of faith that he went through. As I number them, there are four primary crises of faith that Abraham had to go through. Now, let me go ahead and pray and read some scripture, and then I'll talk a little bit more as we begin about what exactly I mean by that, crisis of faith. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the privilege to talk about the needs of others, and especially to pray for them. Lord, we pray that we will be faithful to lift up these needs to you, as we all have needs ourselves, and we trust and count on others to pray for us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be taught by your Spirit now, and we ask for his help as we look into the Scripture, that you'd guide us into all the truth. Jesus promised that you would, and even show us what is yet to come. And so we ask you to wash us clean with your word now. Do forgive, Lord, our sins. They are indeed many. And speak to us now. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now, crisis of faith. What does that mean? Basically, it means God bringing us, and he does this all the time with his children, bringing us to a point of decision. Either one of two ways, and they relate. First of all, whether or not we will trust God in a particular situation. That's a crisis of faith. Secondly, whether or not we will obey God when he makes it clear to us what we should do. So a crisis of faith, and the term actually kind of became a catch term after many years ago. Some of you may have heard of this. You may have even read it many years ago. A Bible series, a topical series came out, and many churches used it, called Experiencing God. And the Experiencing God series was done by a man named Henry Blackaby, primarily. And it began with that statement that all these people in the Bible, Old and New Testament, were going to consider. One of the things they all had to go through was a crisis of faith. In other words, what it means is, will my faith really carry me through this? In other words, when God puts us up against a wall and we say, well, I've been trusting God, but boy, now it's getting tough. And that's where Abram is at this point. So his first great crisis of faith, as we're looking here in chapter 12, was to forsake his own place and follow God. Forsake his own place and follow God. Now, you've got to appreciate that, and I'm not going to read it, but at the end of chapter 11, it gives us the background of Abram. And Abram was raised as a heathen. A pagan. He was in Ur of the Chaldees. Now, for more underscoring of that, I'll just give you a scripture reference, jot it down. Joshua 24 and verse 2. The last chapter of Joshua is Joshua's old. You remember that's the chapter where he says, choose this day whom you will serve. He begins that chapter by giving a little short history of the Israelites, and he says, you know your father Abram dwelt in Ur of the Chaldees, and his father Terah in the land of Haran, and he says, Joshua says, they served other gods, little g. So appreciate the fact that this is what Abram has come from a heathen false god worship that he'd been grown up in. That's what his family did. And then all of a sudden, literally out of the blue, Jehovah speaks to him and says, Abram, get up and get moving. You are supposed to do what I've told you to do and go where I tell you to go. Now, verse 4 makes it very clear. Wherever Abram was here at this point spiritually, he obeyed, right? Abram departed. So this was a great crisis of faith. Abram, we're told in the rest of the Genesis narrative, was a very wealthy man. He had flocks and herds. He had many servants. He had his nephew Lot and all his family and their servants. He had a lot of people he was responsible for. He was a well-to-do man where he was. And God says, gather up everything, get you some tents, because you're going to be living in tents and journeying along the way. And so when God does something like that with us to make us move out of our own comfort zone, whatever it may be. Now, it may not be a physical move. You may not be selling your house, moving to another town or whatever. You might be. But that does happen, of course, sometimes. That's what we did, right? But it wasn't really a crisis of faith for us. We knew God was calling us. There's still some difficulties, obviously. But anyway, God moves us out of our comfort zone many times to get us in a position He wants us in. So He will call you, if He hadn't already, at some point to forsake the place that you are comfortable in order to follow Him to a different place, in order to be used in a way that He wants you used. It may be staying right where you live, not changing jobs, not changing churches, not changing anything, but it may still be moving you out of your comfort zone. Okay? So that's a test of your faith, to forsake the place that's so familiar and so comfortable and follow God. And again, it's important that we see that God does that over and over again. Okay, let's look over as Paul gives us the account about this in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, in what's called the Hall of Fame of the Faithful by many. Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 8, if you're there. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out. Now here's the amazing part. Not knowing whither he went. God called him, he obeyed, and he didn't have a clue where God was taking him. Can you imagine the conversation that night with Sarai? Honey, Jehovah's spoken to me. Who's that? Jehovah. God. And he told me we're going to pick up everything and move. And Lot and all his bunch are going with us too. Everything we own, everything we possess, we're going to gather up all we can carry. And what we can't carry, we're going to leave behind. And we're leaving. Well, that's pretty surprising, Abram. Where are we going? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? God just said, get moving. I don't know where we're going. Now again, appreciate that whole situation. Here's a man who had plenty to keep him comfortable and settled where he was. And he could have, in this crisis of faith, said, no, thank you very much, Lord. I want to worship you. I want to know you. I want to honor you. But I'm not moving from here. I'm not pulling up stakes. But he didn't do that because the call of God was clear enough. He knew he needed to obey. Now, in reality, we have to think about it. When God saves us, he does call us from everything that's familiar and comfortable. And we really don't know at that point exactly where we're going to wind up, do we? I mean, let's be honest. If we thought, and we probably didn't think about it, I didn't. Much. But if you think about it, at the time you go, okay, God's called me, I've trusted Jesus, I'm saved, I'm following Him, where am I going to wind up? See, that's a big question mark, isn't it? Through the years, that's an unknown. Oh, along the way you'll know where you're supposed to be, but on regular intervals many times God will change that. Let's look at a couple of the calls of people in the New Testament to kind of get a better perspective about it. First of all, Mark chapter 1. Bibles ought to fall open to Mark easily, shouldn't it, since we spent about 13 months in it. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Now as he, that's Jesus, of course, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway, remember we said when we were in Mark, that's one of his favorite words. It means right off the bat, immediately. Straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he'd gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he, Jesus, called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Now again, get the picture. Here's Zebedee and his two sons, and they're mending nets, and they're getting ready to go out and fish again, probably. And this different-looking figure, different-speaking figure comes along and says, "Follow me." And the boys are still mending nets, and they just drop them. And probably Zebedee goes, "What are y'all doing?" "We're following him." And they left Daddy holding the nets and the servants in the boat and followed him. See, that's a crisis of faith. One more, Matthew chapter 9. And verse 9. This is the writer, Matthew, talking about himself. "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom." He was a tax collector. "And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Got up out of his booth, left all the tax money, left his, no doubt, under the table money that he could gather, because the deal with Rome was, with Israel is, you collect what we tell you to. Anything else you can get by pressure or however, you get to keep yourself. He gets up and coins jangle and baskets fall, and he follows Jesus. That's a crisis of faith. To forsake your place, that which is most familiar and most comfortable, whatever that may be, and follow God. And again, like I said, you don't really know where. Now, sometimes when God moves us from somewhere to another, like when he moved us from Columbus to here, we knew where we were going. I mean, it was clear. But that's not always the way it is, see. Sometimes he just says, get moving, and when you get where you're supposed to be, I'll let you know, you can stop then. That's probably the hardest thing for us, isn't it? That's the hardest thing, because we all want to know kind of what tomorrow or next week or 2 years from now might bring. But in Abram's case, and so many others in the Scripture, the Lord simply says, here's what I'm going to say if you really trust me or you just talk about trusting me. Get up and go. Follow me. Now that initial call to discipleship is the greatest one, obviously, to deal with, because it's calling us out of darkness into light, from death to life, from sin to salvation. And so it's the greatest change. But once that happens, God's not through changing us and calling us and leading us, see. And so we have to be ready and open to understand. Now, one other thing I'd put in here, sometimes when we think we're being called or when others tell us we're being called, we're not necessarily being called by God. We have to be very discerning and careful about that. Because sometimes our own thoughts or what somebody else says makes such good sense, we think, well, that's got to be the Holy Spirit. Well, it might be and it might not. And there's ways from the Scripture and prayer we can test that, right? So not every thought or outward call is necessarily God calling. We have to discern that. But all these people we've looked at, just these three examples, it was real clear to them that Jehovah, that Jesus was calling them. And they didn't have any question about who was calling them, so therefore there wasn't any question about them going, you see. So the main thing is to make sure that we know if it's him calling, and if it is, then we're called to either make our call whether we decide to obey or we decide to not. Many people through the years, Christians, and still today, and I sure have done it some, I can't really think of a real example, but I'm sure I've probably done it some, no doubt. God calls you to do something, and you don't. And usually always at some point you realize, I should have done that. I should have obeyed there. I should have followed that. I should have trusted him for that. So it's always best if we know it's the Lord's voice and are sure of that, then we need to make sure that we're willing to obey and to trust Him about whatever is out there that we really can't see at that time. Okay. Any questions or comments?